Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
It requires a 60% vote to pass a tax. I'm telling you guys, you don't put impact fees in before the election, you will not get the sales tax. You didn't get it twice before, and you're not going to get it again.
You're asking for a half cent tax increase. I will fight that. I will go out there and oppose it if you don't put impact fees back in.
I got news for you. I am a no increase in the sales tax unless we address the impact of people moving into this county.
Everything that you do is calculated by the benefactors that you got. You're not somebody that runs your own thing. You have people pulling the strings, puppets, that are giving you donations, political donations.
So the puppets are pulling the strings? I'm not quite sure about the metaphor there, but okay, fine. The people are angry. The people are angry who showed up to the county commission meeting last week in Santa Rosa County to talk about impact fees, because the short version of the history here is there were impact fees for a while, and then the recession, they went away, and they haven't gone back since. Property values have gone up substantially. Lots of new people have moved here. Infrastructure is taxed, and everybody's angry. How do you solve that problem? Yeah, you got that. That's basically where we're at. And then there's a conversation about next year increasing the local option sales tax from 0.5% to 1%. That's the extra half penny they're talking about. Renewing the first 0.5% sales tax. And then whether we're going to have impact fees. Sam Parker, in a budget meeting, had basically got the board to agree not to do impact fees for a year. An impact fee is when you charge a new builder, a new home gets built, and you charge it a couple of $1,000s. There's a whole lot of details on how this works, but that's to offset the cost of having to do new infrastructure like storm drains and roads. And if you have an impact fee for schools, although that is done separately, basically, and it can be for law enforcement. I think theoretically you could use impact fees even for parks and things like that. But generally, the problem is new people come, they put cars on the road, they put, you know, water into the wrong places because their house gets built and roads built for their house causes storm issues. And between those two things, you got to offset that. They pay an extra fee to pay for that is what it's supposed to be. Now, does it actually work out that way in practice? I think there's a lot more to it than that. In any case, Sam had proposed put it off for a year. Let's not do impact fees till next year. The board agreed. Okay. And then Kerry Smith comes back and says, well, now, wait a minute. You know, I campaign on impact fees. I want impact fees. I think impact fees make sense. And a lot of people, as you heard there, want impact fees, and they're unwilling to consider increasing the local option sales tax unless they also get a deal on impact fees. So Kerry Smith actually says, how about we have a double referendum?
So I wanted to start looking into directing staff, which would be mostly Judge Danheiser, drafting the verbiage for a referendum for the upcoming election in 2024, which isn't that far away when we look at it.
That's a year and a bit.
And let's propose that half cent sales tax, but I want to put a caveat in there that the minute that sales tax, if we do go that way, impact fees will follow at that point.
Now, it's not clear to me whether he's asking for the double referendum, you know, the conjoined twin, so to speak, of a half percent increase in the local option sales tax and also impact fee, or it's more just meant to be an understanding, like a verbal promise to the voters. You could theoretically put it all on the ballot and let the voters decide first half cent, second half cent, and impact fees. You know, that could be done as well. James Calkins on his standard line.
All I hear, and this is out of respect, this is a respectful debate.
And by the way, typically when you say this is respectful, you're about to say something disrespectful. Just, you know, that's generally right. You're trying to recast it. Okay.
All I hear from you is tax, 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 or what can we, you know, you're always looking for ways to tax the citizens, increase fees. That's all I hear from you, Commissioner Smith.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a fair concern, right? Commissioner Calkins is always advocating for cutting, which, of course, people want more services, and you have a growing county, so cutting may not be the answer when you have both demands upward on the services provided by the county. But okay, he says, you know, look, we don't have a revenue problem, and you keep always wanting more taxes.
We do not have a revenue problem, so why are you asking for more? That's my thoughts.
And I mean, that's a fair question, right? Okay. So you're having this conversation about who should pay for the infrastructure, how much should they pay, what's a fair amount of taxation. And Sam Parker basically comes in as Commissioner of District 1. He says, look, y'all got me worked up. And I mean him, but I also mean me today. The amount of property taxes being paid by people who build new construction is already disproportionately heavy on them because of the way our property taxes work. The taxable value of your home when you buy it is the base, and then every year it can only go up 3%. So if you have a home and you've lived in it for 10 or 20 years, the home value is really high compared to the taxable base of that home, which is really low. And you're not paying on the full value of the home, which is meant to protect people, right? To not get property taxed out of the homes that they've bought, okay? But the flip side of that is that other people who buy new are paying on the whole value. And so two people living in the same house in comparable neighborhoods with a actual value of that house being roughly the same, person one might be paying, say, $700 a year in property taxes, and person two might be paying $2,000 a year in property taxes. How can two people living in the same value home and the same comparable neighborhood, you know, how can one person be paying 150% more than the other person? How can that possibly be fair? Well, it's not fair, but it's a byproduct of the way the system is set up. And then also, you know, a question that I'm raising today is, okay, person A lives in a $500,000 home, and let's say they're both new construction, and person B lives in a $2 million home, and they're both new construction. Person B is going to pay about four times as much. Do they get four times as much service out of the county? No, that's a tax the wealthy problem. You know, that you're taking too much money from the people. And by the way, this can be all inverted, where like a person could have bought a home at 400 grand, let's say 10 years ago. It's now worth 2 million. Somebody else buys a $600,000 home today, they might actually be paying more in property taxes than the person with the $2 million home because of the way the increase works over 3% over time. So there's a lot to be talked about here. But I appreciate what Sam Parker brought up just because on principle, I hear what he's saying. We'll get back to this in a second. Candy's got traffic on the five.
And a couple of things that you want to watch out for. I-10 eastbound at mile marker 16. I'm showing debris on the roadway in the left lane. So caution there. And then taking a look in Myrtle Grove, Bellevue, and Dallas Avenue. Showing an accident, vehicle crash, but not showing a roadblock this morning. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to Commissioner Sam Parker, who says, look, some of y'all who come up here advocating for impact fees are actually paying really low income or paying really low property taxes. And you're advocating for tax the new people, tax the young homeowners who buy their first home, and you're not paying enough. I mean, he doesn't say it that way, but I think it's accurate. And he used particular people's names. It was kind of entertaining. But then he says,
hey, I'm all for a sales tax because we have research that shows over 30% of it is paid by tourists. But if you're going to talk to me about, hey, we need impact fees on top of a perpetual impact, I mean, let that sink in now. Over twice as much that I'm paying as existing homes.
And he walked through the numbers. And because if one person like him versus his in-laws, I think was the example, you know, because they've lived in their home for longer, even though they're comparable values, if he's paying $300 or $400 more every year, or $500 more every year. Over 10 years, that's $5,000. And you want to put them on an impact fee. You know, like, the point he was making, and I think it is a fair point, is that the new construction folks, because they don't get the protection on the base, taxable base for their home, they pay way too much in property tax compared to other people who really aren't paying enough. And so it's kind of funny because the longtime people, longtime residents, you know, moan and complain about the new folks coming in. The new folks are carrying your weight from the property taxes. Now, I know that doesn't make me super popular with the longtime residents to say it, but it's true. Again, if you've been living in your home for, you know, 10 or 15 years and your property tax, because the limits is, you know, $700 or $800, and the new person buys a home similar to yours and they pay $2,000, $2,500 because they have to pay the full freight on that thing, you're paying $700, they're paying $2,000, $2,500. You should be thanking them because the cost of government is on their shoulders more than it is on yours. Just as a thought this morning. 437-1620. And that's not even getting into all of the issues about, you know, well, what is the appropriate amount of ad valorem taxes? And should we, as somebody texted me here, should we not reset property values every 5 or 10 years instead of only allowing the 3%? Because you do have this big disparity.
I'll support the sales tax, but I'm just challenging you gentlemen and the public to convince me why we don't need a millage reduction for the next fiscal year.
To offset. Now, he's running for re-election. You got to put an asterisk on all proposals in election years because, you know, people will sometimes say what they, right, what they want people to re-elect him for. But I think he's onto something in the sense that, hey, pass the sales tax. That's a fair tax. Everybody pays the same percent. Let's talk about either reducing, and I wouldn't reduce millage across the, I wouldn't reduce millage. What I would do is I would somehow try to reduce the cost paid by the people who aren't benefiting from the limit in tax base. That would seem to me to be the fair thing. A tax, a millage rate of some kind cut for the new home construction. That to me would make more sense.
But I will say after pulling property tax things, I am for reducing the property tax. Now you got a year to prove me why we shouldn't, but right now, and staff's as shocked as anybody because they ain't never had these discussions with me. But that's what happens when you keep pushing and then I keep researching. I said, man, maybe there is a problem. Maybe why am I paying so much property tax? Why am I paying $300 a month? That's more than a car payment when I bought my first car.
Just because you built recently, right?
That is what I've been talking about. New construction is already paying more. And that is the American dream for young families just like me and my wife, to be able to raise our kids in a home that we designed and a home that we wanted to have. And so by the grace of God, we were able to work hard and afford to build a house. And we pay more taxes. And you know what? We do it kind of like paying our tithes. We do it with a joyful heart to know, hey, we live in Santa Rosa County. But the thought of adding even more fees, I want people that pay less taxes to explain to me why people like me and other young families should have to pay even more.
And add into this the problem of making the housing affordable, right? This is a challenge we know we have. And, you know, something like an impact fee does make the house cost more. I'm not a big believer in the impact fee concept just because I think it's just it's a weird system to try to make work. And you usually can't fund the things you need to fund. And you think it's going to solve something, but it doesn't really solve it. But I'm amazed that in all the years of thinking about property taxes, and cards on the table, I think property taxes are philosophically unjustifiable. Why does somebody owe to pay for government services just because they bought a piece of land and built a house on it? I don't understand why they have to continually rent that back from the government or they'll take it away. I especially don't understand why the people who have the nicer house have to pay more. What, because they have a nicer house? Because we can? Because we're accustomed to it? Like, they don't demand services more. They don't get better fire service or better police service. In fact, the poorer neighborhoods are the ones who more tax those services, typically. So we got all kinds of weird problems in the way this is structured. But the sort of the basic bare bones question is, and this is, again, all the years I've thought about property taxes and I have never realized this one thing. The people who buy the new homes are going to wind up paying a disproportionately higher share of the county's funding than the people who sit in their homes for a long time. And you cannot justify that, not really. And so instead of resenting the new builder, you should, again, you know, just say thank you. They might be paying 2 to 3 times as much as you are in tax. And we didn't even get into it this time around about how much more Escambia County pays in tax in Santa Rosa. That's true, by the way. Just, here's the short version, okay? The price per person for schools in both counties is the same, about $2,400 a person if you divide by the whole population. But if you just look at the operation of the county, Santa Rosa County is about $1,000 a person. Escambia County is $2,200 a person. Just dividing the county budget by the population of the county. So a family of five in Santa Rosa should be paying about $5,000 a year just for running the county, about $12,000 for schools. Family of five in Escambia should be paying about, you know, $10,000 to run the county and about $15,000 for schools. Just things to stick in your hat and think about. 725 on News Radio 92.3. I am like just, I can't stop talking about this today. I know I'm passionate. I apologize. We're all out of format, but it's okay. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And still just watching but one area of concern. I-10 looks like westbound at mile marker 16. That debris has been taken out of the roadway. So still watching Bellevue and Dallas Avenue and Myrtle Grove. It looks like a side street and not a roadblock either. So if you shouldn't have any problem getting around. If you have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's 725.
Here's today's strength for life.
It's okay to be angry. Godly parents should be lovingly angry with their children when they make sinful choices. Christian citizens should be righteously indignant over the rapidly increasing carnality of our country. Individuals should be personally angry when we do things that we know we shouldn't. Anger is often a right and God-honoring response, but anger can quickly accelerate into sin and into opportunities for the devil. Ephesians 4 instructs us to be angry, but sin not, neither give place or opportunity to the devil. Anger can easily become unrighteous and self-glorifying. Beware of sinful anger, because that's where the devil can get a foothold and ruin your marriage, destroy your relationships with your children, and wreak relational havoc of various types. So as much as possible, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
And we're back with the action. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever?
That's right, Jim. With an irresistible taste and zero sugar, Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any sports fan. So make sure you... Wait, Jim, I didn't mean try it right now. We're still on the air.
Best Coke ever? Take a taste, Jen.
Really?
No, not right now, Jen. We got a game to call.
Jeep. Climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Got it.
Goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep downfield! Punt! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone!
Picked off! Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola, right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
He who is valiant and pure of spirit may find the Holy Grail in the castle of...
Free your mind!
728 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. I know. I spent a lot of time this morning talking about all of this, you know, property taxes and local option sales taxes and impact fees and all that. But I just think this is important stuff for people to understand, and we don't ever talk about this very much. So David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Negotiations to end the Hollywood actors' strike is going to resume on Friday. The actors' union SAG-AFTRA made that announcement on Wednesday with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. The statement said both sides met Wednesday for a bargaining session. The head of Homeland Security calling for construction of a border wall in parts of Texas.
Department of Homeland Security waiving 26 federal laws such as the Clean Air Act and the Safe Water Drinking Act to allow border wall construction in Starr County, Texas. This is a major reversal for President Biden.
NBC's Gabe Gutierrez and DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas citing an acute and immediate need to waive those laws and build the border wall. Well, I was hoping to tell you I won the lottery and I wouldn't be here today, but nobody won.
Good to know.
Nobody matched all six numbers. Last night's Powerball drawing, the jackpot is now rolled up to what would be the third highest jackpot in the and the fifth largest in U.S. Lotto history.
It was everything I could do, David, to not interrupt you and say, so Biden is interested in building more border wall now, and he's going to bypass a bunch of laws to get the immigration problem under control. Who had that idea before? It's so interesting. It was everything I could do to wait until the lottery story to say it.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan is one of two publicly declared candidates so far to replace Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker. Neither were among the eight Republicans voting to remove McCarthy.
I do think we have to have someone who can bring our team together. I think I'm best equipped to do that. The eight people who voted in a way that I disagreed with, we got to bring them into the fold.
Congressman Jordan on Fox and Friends. Louisiana Republican Steve Scalise is running for Speaker as well. There's a memorial service today for California Senator Dianne Feinstein.
Vice President Kamala Harris, former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and San Francisco Mayor London Breed are set to speak. The service held at the steps of San Francisco City Hall will also include a recorded message from President Joe Biden.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. There's a private burial ceremony for just family after the service. Feinstein died last Friday, 90 years old. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 72 right now. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola. Good morning. The city of Pensacola asking people to place their recycling cans at the curb. The city's still in the process of picking them up. And they've got more than 21,000 cans that have to be picked up.
We've talked about our goal was to get them done. Last week, we haven't been able to do that, but we've been double timing. We've brought on additional staff, rented some trucks.
Mayor D.C. Reeves says if you still have your recycling can, please leave it at the curb so it can be picked up. They're going to be kept in storage until the city determines the next recycling program. And last week, the curbside recycling program through ECUA ended as their rates increased. Most of the material collected was not able to be recycled. October's National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, NAS Whiting Field has a new bench that's honoring victims of domestic violence and sexual assault.
We are helping to show that there is not a stigma around being a victim of sexual assault. If you're victimized, then you've lost your liberty and you're injured and you struggle to then recover and share who you are with the world.
That's Milton Mayor Heather Lindsay, who talked with Channel 3. A ribbon cutting took place yesterday at the Fleet and Family Support Center. Governor Ron DeSantis unveiling his quarter three fundraising numbers yesterday. He says they shattered expectations. He says his presidential campaign raised $15 million in the third quarter. He calls it the most emphatic signal yet that the momentum behind his comeback candidacy is continuing to build. Former President Donald Trump also announced his quarter three fundraising results. He'd raised about $45 million. Some Citizens Property Insurance customers may have their policies transferred soon. Florida Insurance Commissioner Michael Jaworski signed orders this week allowing private companies to take over 150,000 Citizens policies. The goal for the state is to depopulate Citizens to reduce their liability. So far this year, the state's approved private insurers to take about 386,000 policies, and those transfers should take effect by Christmas. If the private company offers a rate that's less than 20% above what Citizens offers, state law says you have to accept that offer. Well, several people are still in the hospital today after a vehicle crash that happened on 98 yesterday.
We had six patients transported. We had one vehicle traveling eastbound on US 98. We had one vehicle that was traveling westbound that began a left turn into this apartment complex here. They collided.
That's FHP Trooper Rachel Rudd. She talked with Channel 3 yesterday, and four people in that vehicle were seriously hurt, including two children and an infant. The driver identified as a 75-year-old woman. Two people in the other vehicle were also injured. Right now, there's no word on the condition of anyone involved, but we will update you when we learn more, probably later today. It is 7:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right, not showing a lot this morning. Barrancas, this is east to south Old Quarryfield Road, showing a vehicle crash, but not showing a roadblock this morning. Certainly is caution there. A little slow 98 westbound as you're approaching Avalon due to some construction this morning. And if you see an accident or a slowdown, you can let us know if you have some traffic tips. 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. 72 right now in Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up into the mid to upper 80s, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 70s. For Friday, 30% chance of rain. Otherwise, temperatures warming up into the 80s, partly cloudy skies. Temperatures Friday night dropping into the 60s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And your next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. We have meatless meat and now beanless coffee. A Seattle-based startup called Otomo Coffee has launched a beanless coffee that uses superfoods and upcycled ingredients to mimic the molecular structure of coffee. Otomo says its cold brew beanless coffee causes 93% fewer carbon emissions and uses 94% less water than regular coffee. Prada, the maker of pricey leather bags and chunky boots, is helping make space suits astronauts will wear on the moon. The suits will be worn on NASA's Artemis 3 mission planned for 2025, the agency's attempt at getting astronauts back on the moon for the first time in more than 50 years. Astronauts were last on the lunar surface in 1972 during NASA's Apollo program. Prada, whose fashions are usually worn on runways and red carpets, was picked to work on the suits by Axiom Space. The Houston-based company awarded a NASA contract last year to replace and modernize the agency's suits. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
For a limited time only, save 35% on New South Windows products and installation.
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. We are gearing up for an exciting homecoming weekend, and we invite all community members, alumni, and fans to join us for the game on October 7th at Penn Air Field. Learn more about our homecoming events and football team by joining us on October 5th on the Pensacola Expert Panel. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTR-CM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Taxes are too high. Spending is too high. Why did Matt Gaetz join Nancy Pelosi, AOC, and over 200 Democrats in killing the Republican plan to cut Washington spending and strengthen the border? Because Matt Gaetz would rather promote himself than protect taxpayers from runaway government spending. Conservative Republicans had a deal to cut spending by 8% and restore Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. The plan would have protected taxpayers and our borders. But Matt Gaetz killed it. Matt Gaetz spends too much time chasing TV cameras and not enough time working together with conservatives to rein in Washington spending. Call Matt Gaetz at 850-479-1183 and tell him to stop voting with Democrats and start siding with Florida taxpayers. Paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. Learn more. Visit atr.org/cutspending.
Local news with News Radio's news team.
I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3.
I'm News Director Joe Ford. Local news radio is so important because during major events or emergencies, you may not always be near a TV. Your phone and internet may go out, but radio is easily accessible and often the first source for information you need to know.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. By the way, we got a text in. Somebody said that our AM signal, the 1620, is off the air, and we've checked, and it is. So we're working on it. But thank you. I just the reason I mention it because it doesn't have much help for me to tell you that something's off the air, because if you're listening on that, you already know, and if you're listening somewhere else, it's not relevant to you. Right? Okay, I get that. But the reason sometimes it's funny what we do in radio. I'm telling you only because I really appreciate you texting in, because we didn't know. And thank you for that. I very much appreciate that. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, joins us every Thursday at this time. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Hey, Candy.
Good morning, Mike Wood.
There's Candy.
You know what? You know, if we can talk for just a second about a radio myth, I always thought you had the headphones on to figure out if you were off the air. You were listening to the signal, so that's not it.
Oh, interesting. No.
Because there's a delay.
Yeah, the delay would drive you crazy, because I would be talking and I'd wait 7 seconds and then
I'd be talking. Right. Yeah, that's why.
Okay.
No, what it does is you can't have, okay, so we're going to do radio geek stuff here for a second.
Cool.
You can't have the speakers in the room playing what's going on the radio station with the open mic, so you'll get reverb and feedback. You'll get some really bad. So we have the headphones on so that we can hear what's happening on my mic, Candy's mic, what David might be saying, sound clips and all of that, without it feeding back into my microphone and creating an audio problem for everybody. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I have been educated today. It's going to be a good day.
Very good. Let's talk about some stuff for PPD. We had a pretty significant incident at Pensacola Village. In case people don't know, that's what Davis Highway and Fairfield. Fairfield. I had to think for a second. We had one person wound up getting killed and one person got sent to the hospital from a shooting, right, on Sunday?
Yeah, we did. There were a lot of people there when the officers arrived on the scene. And, we unfortunately found an individual in an apartment that was deceased from a gunshot wound. And we had another one, we believe, possibly from the same shot that was injured as well, that's going to be okay. So we're currently looking for and working on a suspect for that. We did make an arrest that day. There was a juvenile arrested on some weapons charges, but it wasn't directly at this point involved in the shooting, but that's all still under investigation.
All right. Well, you know, as always, you know, trying to get piece the information together and figure out what happened. I know it's always a challenge for you. We also had kind of a concerning note that came in yesterday, I think it was, that a couple of people sort of outside but then came into the Azalea and wound up being treated for overdose. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe there were four, and one was very serious. I understand CPR had to be performed on that individual. And Andrew, this is something that we're looking into to see exactly what happened. You know, was the drugs or whatever it was ingested outside, distributed by one person? There's a lot of questions there. We just simply don't know, and we're looking into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly weird. Like, were they all in a car getting high together? Did something get, I mean, I don't know, is it like a chemical attack? You know, like, it's a weird situation to me. You know, one's a lot more plausible than the other, but you guys have to kind of figure out what happened. And so far, not quite sure, or still working on it?
Yeah, it's still under investigation. We've still got a lot of questions we'd like answered.
All right, very good. We also, Mayor Reeves had announced, and you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but you all are going to be building or are in the process of building a substation on the Pensacola State College campus as a north of, you know, the Haines Street home base, but then this would be for folks in the north end that are operating to basically have a shorter distance to drop off things like body cam video and things like that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the, you know, the north end is completely just about opposite if you look at the city map of where the headquarters is. And we have, let's see, beats 1 through 4 are up that way. So there's lots of area to cover up that way. And, you know, for a long time we've been wanting to see something like this happen. It's going to keep the office from having to drop down or drive down to the station to do paperwork, upload body camera footage and that sort of thing. So and to take breaks. So it's going to be a welcome thing to us. And we'll get that up and going here shortly, we hope. And once we have any more information on it, we'll be getting back with the media on that.
Okay. And would it also mean, for example, that, you know, when you're like for shift change, would this mean that, you know, showing up to work, that you're going to have like a motor pool there, that you're going to go to work at the substation instead of going to work on Haines Street? Have you guys figured that part of it out yet?
Well, that part, we haven't gone that far. You know, ever since we've gone to a take-home fleet, which was many years ago, the officers are able to go straight to their work areas from the house if need be.
Makes
and we
sense.
Had to do that. We did a lot of that during COVID, and we during emergency situations such as storms, they're able to do that. So that's something that we'll work on once we get everything in place.
Is it normal for a beat cop to, I mean, do you go to Haines Street every day, a couple times a day, less than once a day? What's typical?
Well, typical is the officers will start out their shift in roll call, in lineup, as they call it, at Haines Street.
Okay.
So whether that extends to any substation anywhere that we may have in the city is something that we'll have to decide once we get that up and running.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was kind of – maybe I used the wrong term in talking about the cars, but, yeah, the roll call is kind of what I was thinking about. Okay. Mike, hang on for me for just a second. We're talking to Mike Wood, the Pensacola Police Department Public Information Officer. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right. Barrancas Avenue. This is just east of South Old Quarryfield Road. It looks like that is open after an accident this morning. And Lillian and Blue Angel showing an accident, but not a roadblock, but very slow in that area. Lillian and Blue Angel at that intersection. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. You guys had National Night Out. Was it just when that's over, though, right? It did happen already?
Yes, that was Tuesday evening. You know, a lot of agencies will do this in August. That's where it originated. And this has been going on since, I believe, 1984, all over the country where all departments do it on the same night. But I don't have to tell you how warm or how hot it was with heat warnings in August. So there are several jurisdictions that moved that to the first and second weeks of October simply because it's a little more pleasant out there, and we hope that it draws more citizens. And it seemed to work. We had a pretty good crowd out there Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, that's always good. Anything that, you know, where the public can interact and meet and kind of form that more positive vision of law enforcement and, you know, give the cops something a little bit more fun that they can, you know, do instead of, you know, a lot of the normal stuff y'all have to do maybe isn't always that much fun. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
I do. Can you tell me, this is a question for you, what kind of officer do you think that law enforcement agencies are looking for to hire, male or female? What do you think that we're looking for in a person?
Okay, so great. I love a chance for me to look stupid. This is good.
I'd also like to play along.
I have my own maybe answer to this, but I think that like the expectation would be that you're looking for men who are tall, who are strong, who are athletic, who are good in a fight, who have, you know, good aim and, you know, good judgment, good character, law-abiding, honest, that kind of stuff. But and good with dealing with people, I guess. It'd be kind of my – if I rounded it all out, that would
same
probably
answer,
be.
Yes.
Okay. How close did I get?
Not close. and I'll tell you why.
Yes.
You know, we're looking for both men and women who have great communication skills, The type of person who is extremely thorough when writing emails or letters. We're looking for individuals with compassion and empathy. We're looking for individuals, obviously, with integrity. They need to have good negotiation skills, an eagerness to learn, and great mental agility. That's what we're looking for. And, especially, I got to tell you, my first training officer when I was a young officer was a female, and I never saw anybody that was able to talk her way out of a fight like Elaine Yeager. That's what her name was. A lot of these female officers that we have, thank goodness for them, because they're able to settle down a situation. But when you're talking two men, a male officer and a male suspect, and a female shows up and is able to settle things down, we're like, well, we don't know how you did that, but we sure do appreciate it. So, we're not looking for the big size of a male or somebody that can run fast. We're looking for other traits that I just mentioned.
You know, it's kind of funny. I remember going through like the Citizens Police Academy, and you put us in scenarios so we get a chance to see, right? What is it like to be a cop, and what do you deal with? And the thing that I took away from that, as well as ride-alongs, was it's talking and thinking and being quick on your feet and knowing how to work with people. Like, that's the real challenge, right?
Yeah, it is. And, that's why we send a lot of our officers through specialized training, especially with mental health. And, we have these professionals that are going to coming online soon, too. So all of that has changed over the years. And it's a lot about using your brain and speaking to people and looking at different perspectives in order to perform your duties.
In other words, if your stereotype is Tackleberry.
Officer, officer, can you get my kitty cat out of the tree?
No problem, ma'am.
Oh, no, no, wait!
You're not looking for Tackleberry?
How did you do that so fast? But, yeah, I guess.
It's a gift.
I guess every officer has a quote Tackleberry. Every department does, but that's a lot of old school stuff. But you're quick. You're quick with that computer.
Well, I may get my answers wrong, but I can find a sound clip. Mike Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, thank you so much for the time as always, and thanks for what you do, brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
437-1620. That's my phone number. If you want to complain about the animal cruelty sound clips, that's fine.
Text those in.
We're here. We read them. Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home and trying to figure out what to do, or as the conversation this morning has been so much about where you want to buy or sell, or where you want to live and what's the market doing there. Hey, Christina Leavenworth, she is just fantastic at this, and she surrounded herself with some people who are very, very good at what they do. And what I like to say is they're like-minded, but also like-hearted. In the sense of like serving and going above and beyond and just taking care of all the details, whatever they are, that kind of the attitude is they just love to help people get into homes and see them satisfied and see them thrilled about something, after the purchase or after the sale, both ways. So if you just want some good advice and find out what the market is doing and, get somebody who can really sell your house for the best price or get you the house for the best price, that's what they're all about. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival is coming October 4th through the 8th. Over 19 different venues and over 100 songwriters playing the songs they wrote and the stories behind each song. A full weekend of listening to writers like Thompson Square. Are you gonna kiss me all night? Grammy winner Jim Moose Brown. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Andy Griggs, Jamie O'Neill, and many more. The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival, October 4th through the 8th. Get more at PensacolaBeachSongwritersFestival.com.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you have heart failure and often hear,
"Those stomach issues ruined your birthday.
You're too tired to play catch, Grandpa."
Sweetie, you haven't touched your tools since the carpal tunnel syndrome diagnosis.
If these seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, talk to your cardiologist. Ask about transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTR-CM, a rare and underdiagnosed disease that gets worse over time. Learn more at connecttoyourheart.com. That's connecttoyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. First City Art Center's 17th annual Pumpkin Patch is Friday and Saturday at the FCAC campus. Choose a hand-blown glass and handcrafted pumpkin and support local artists. See firstcityart.org for more. Soaring excitement and thrilling musicality come together for opening night of the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra's 98th season, Saturday night at the Sanger Theater. See PensacolaSanger.com. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I did the 23-hour nose route to the top of El Capitan in 18 hours and 23 minutes. I can make this work.
All right, so this isn't related to anything at all, but it is the thing that we discovered in the break. Candy and I both discovered together in the break. Because we were talking about Police Academy, and I said to her, the only real sound clips other than that one sort of, you know, the shoot the cat clip that I have is I have the training lieutenant.
Police work
right?
Is
yes,
yes, absolutely.
And I made the comment to Candy, all I've got is Sergeant Rizzo, and she's like, Sergeant Rizzo? From MASH. I'm like, yeah.
I didn't even know me. That's the same guy.
And I hadn't connected it either until I said it out loud. I'm like, oh, yeah, it sure is. So G.W. Bailey. There you go. So
that's, and that's what I learned from the show today.
That's the big takeaway from the show today.
Taxes, schmaxes.
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
No, I do. It looks like there's something going on I-10 from Pine Forest. It looks like it is backing up and taking a look, of course, in that direction. It is. It's a parking lot. It starts at Pine Forest, or I should say that really starts in between the Car City exit and the Pine Forest exit, but it is backing up past the Pine Forest exit. That said, Pine Forest is also backing up both northbound and southbound. A little slow on 29 near 10 Mile as you're approaching Car City, and if you see an accident or a slowdown, certainly let us know, and thank you so much for doing so. A little slow at 98 westbound, too, as you approach Avalon due to construction, I believe. If you see an accident or a slowdown and have traffic tips, 437-1620, text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you so much, Candy.
Local, dependable. I can see him writing on that chalkboard.
Dependable.
Police Academy was so good. I wonder if it still holds up. I don't think it would.
It's okay. There's some parts that you didn't want to watch with the kids and you didn't know until you watched it with the kids. And then you're like, oh.
Look at that.
That's a speech at a podium. David Wayne is...
Oh, yeah.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with, oh, hey, how about that? David Wayne's in the newsroom.
This
third
from
time's
the podium.
Fourth time's a charm. Is this a podium, Mike? What's going on in the newsroom, David?
I can't do news when I'm thinking about Police Academy. That's one of my favorite movies.
Every single person that has seen Police Academy has now driven off the road.
Yeah, how do I follow that, Andrew?
What's a podium,
come on now.
Mommy? Shh.
NFL Hall of Famer Brett Favre is scheduled to be deposed in a Mississippi lawsuit regarding alleged welfare fraud this month. Favre is testifying October 26th in a civil lawsuit centered around the misuse of Mississippi welfare money. Favre and 20 others being sued. A state auditor said they found $70 million had been misused. Favre was paid over $1 million in 2017 and 2018 to give motivational speeches. Now, he's since repaid that money and says he didn't know the funds were for welfare dollars. Toyota and LG Battery Solutions have signed a $3 billion deal for the South Korean battery giant to supply Toyota with batteries for electric vehicles. They'll all be assembled at a plant in Kentucky. And apparently Chipotle is now testing a new automation system to make burrito bowls and salads.
The company, based in Newport Beach, California, says that robots assemble the meals for the customers who place orders through the Chipotle app. Now, this is not the first time that the fast food restaurant has explored robotic assembly. Chippy the robot was initially tested at a restaurant in California last year and successfully demonstrated its ability to make tortilla chips. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Okay.
Can I get one of them robots?
My son and I went to the Poke Bowl place. It's off of by the Starbucks and that little complex off of 90 North Davis at the UWF entrance
right
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have a robot server that brings you your bowl of.
No.
Really?
Yeah, a little robot. Looks, it comes over to your table, and you're like,
was your order
one.
Ready? Are you good? I mean,
yeah, it was, yeah, but I'm just like, why is there
the Jetsons was right? We are living in the future.
No,
what's going on here?
And it was so like, okay, here we are. Neat. That was my, like, both of us, my son and I were really like, okay, this is where we are.
Dude, that's cool.
I know, it was pretty wild. David, thanks so much for the update. We'll have Lisa Newell with the Gulf Breeze News coming up next. Stick around, we'll be back.
You're listening to News Radio.